3. Up and comer. Believing God intends you to be President of the United States would indicate true megalomania in most people, but maybe not if you were a Roosevelt in the early part of the 20th century. Being a Roosevelt meant having been born at the top of the heap, no climbing necessary. One Roosevelt had already been president, why not another? That FDR might see himself as selected by God for a certain role in life isn't terribly unusual. Spiritual faith is often linked with a sense of destiny, sometimes referred to by the religious as a calling. This sense that humans are part of a plan, a big, glorious plan designed by God, gives people imagination, it gives them guidance, it gives them the will to believe they can do great things and the strength to keep trying. Preachers, missionaries, doctors, teachers, all sorts of religious people talk about receiving the call. If Roosevelt, with his button-down Episcopalian faith, entertained the Baroque notion of being divinely and specifically ordained to be the most powerful man in America, he kept it deeply hidden. He did believe, however, that attaining the greatest office in the land was within his power and that it was what God expected him to do. He considered himself appointed to be a leader, Rex Tugwell observed, but that was because there was work to be done which he judged he could do. In hopes of impressing the family of a girl he was dating in college, he revealed his plan to be president. It was met with laughter. Later, Roosevelt told fellow law clerks that he intended to be president. They weren't quite so disrespectful. From early in his career, many people besides FDR seemed to believe that he would be president of the United States. There was more than his name. People sensed an air of destiny about him. Josephus Daniels, Secretary of the Navy while FDR was Assistant Secretary, knew that he was dealing with a man marked for preferment even when he seemed to be distressingly brash and immature. From almost the first time journalist and longtime political aide Lewis Howe saw Roosevelt on the New York State Senate floor, he was certain FDR was destined to be president. The day after Woodrow Wilson was nominated for president, Howe addressed Roosevelt as "beloved and revered future president." He was joking, maybe. Howe's sense of FDR's destiny had a burning intensity that did not waver and was infused into all of the circle around Roosevelt until their ultimate effort in politics was making FDR president of the United States. FDR was no great lion of God in the years after he left Groton. He was no fervent friend of the poor, no raging champion of justice, no rebel. He was still a pleaser, a bit of a snob, charming, energetic, ambitious for himself. Like his father James, his kinsman Theodore, and many Grottys, Franklin enrolled at Harvard. He and Groton chum Lathrop Brown moved into Westmoreley Court, the newest and most ornate of the privately owned residence halls that lined the school's Gold Coast. With diamond-leaded windows and oak wainscoting, the building was new when they moved in September of 1900. They took a lovely three-room suite on the first floor, where they would live for 4 years. On Tuesday, Franklin unpacked. On Wednesday, he prepared for the academic season by purchasing a pair of evening shoes and a derby hat. Not all of Harvard's students were rich kids. The ones who weren't lived in the shabby dormitories of Harvard Yard, some of which lacked central heat.